word on anything. I'm just showing you some things that I have seen in this area. To start off with, Ephesians says, Ephesians 4:26 says, "Be angry and yet do not sin." Now that's a quotation from the Psalms. Psalms 4:4. It's back over there and look. It says, "Be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath," says the Ephesians. Psalms 4:4 says, "Tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still." And another translation for that word tremble is tremble with anger. You know, tremble is speaking of anger itself. Isaiah 64:9 says, "Do not be angry beyond measure, O Lord, neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, look now, all of us are thy people." Now, what we're dealing with here is a definition of a term. I make this statement: God is the only one who has any right to wrath. Anger is a legitimate and a natural emotion. It doesn't. And many Christians think that if they get angry about something, they have sinned, that they're supposed to be meek and mild like the gentle Jesus. And so they suppress this natural emotion of anger within them, only to have it turn out in all kinds of psychoses and neuroses and all manners of difficulty, not knowing that anger is a natural emotion, but like all emotions, must be under the control and the power of the Holy Spirit. When God created us, He made us all that we are legitimate. And every natural emotion has been created in us by God in order to express our true being. And all of our emotions are legitimate at the right place. And that right place is in the presence of God, in the acknowledged presence of God. The scripture says, "Be filled with the Spirit," and it means let your entire being, intellectual, emotional, physical, sensual, everything, be under the control of the Holy Spirit. So therefore, anger is a legitimate thing. Now remember that when Jesus, this is always the scripture people use, when Jesus drove the money changers out of the temple, He very calmly and patiently, observing the situation and the circumstance, platted Himself on an instrument of discipline. And He platted this little whip thing, whatever, and then He very carefully and calmly positioned Himself in the enclosure within the temple, where all of these people were making like a flea market, and they were exchanging money, and all the piece of money, piece of silver, and they would that they could only use in the temple, and they were being robbed because the rate of exchange for these poor people and the money changers were robbing them. They were also selling the animals for sacrifice, so that if you didn't want to give your animal, well, you go buy yourself something there, give that in order to make outrageous prices. They were robbing the people, and it had turned the temple enclosure into a marketplace. Jesus very calmly, very deliberately platted His weapon of discipline. He positioned Himself within the enclosure. He was a familiar person there. And it wasn't the first time He had seen this, but now was the time. And very methodically, and the scriptures make it plain, with great anger, with great vehemence, He ran those rascals out. Said He turned over the tables of the money changers. They had all their money stacked up there, you know. He released the animals and let them escape, and He got a lick or two on every rear end He could catch trying to get out of the way. He beat them out of there. He said, he quoted an Old Testament verse. It says, "The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." He was angry. He ran them out of the, he said, "Thou shalt have made my house shall be called a place of prayer. You've made it a den of thieves." It was anger, correctly used under the control and authority of the Holy Spirit. He wasn't angry on Monday. It was Tuesday He did that. Monday He was there. Last Friday He was there. 3 months ago He was there. He'd been there plenty of times. Why did He wait till that day? Why didn't He do it next week? Why didn't He do it yesterday? Why that day? He was under the direction of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God within Him says, now is the time. And then He released His anger under the direction of the Holy Spirit. And it was not anger because He was threatened. It was zeal for the name of God, for the righteousness of his Father, correctly done at the proper time in the proper place. Now, anger is not the same thing as wrath. Wrath belongs only to God. Now, let me digress in order to explain it this way. When Adam disobeyed God and by his actions chose to be his own God, he didn't need God, he'd be God, you know, that was the... You will know good and evil experimentally. God was just... for the action, and you follow me and you will see that you're the in his actions according to the lie. You shall be as God. Now, as Betty came in this room and she began to arrange as though this chair were in the center of the room, it would look pretty ridiculous, wouldn't it? It would be wrong. It would be foolish. It would be unreasonable. It would be irrational. Man thinks that he's the center of the universe. Every person that is ever born thinks that he's the center of the universe. Don't you always think that? Doesn't everybody know about this? My goodness, I figured it out. Mm-hmm. You know? Me and mine, my four and no more, you know, everything. Oh, it's wonderful. Every man thinks, now that's a foolish way, but every person thinks he's the center of the universe. And this is how I know it. He thinks he's God. And thinking he's God, he's in the dark, and he doesn't know that God is in the center of the universe. And we are creatures, and we take our place about our God, who is the center of the universe. And when we come into the light, we're born spiritually darkened. And we think we're the center of the universe. But the minute we say, Jesus is Lord, our spirits are flooded with light, the Holy Spirit has revealed the person of God, we say, oh my God, I thought that I was the center of the universe all the time. You are Lord. Jesus is Lord. The minute you say in your spirit, Jesus is Lord, you've discovered he's the center of the universe. I'm a creature. I can look at Ralph, and Ralph is all backwards. I mean, he is messed up. But I can look at him and I say, hey, he's a creature just like me. Our God is the center of the universe. And I can deal with Ralph, even though he's all messed up. I can deal with him. He's my brother. And God is in the business of straightening out Ralph, not me. And I don't feel any responsibility. But without Jesus Christ, I'm in the dark. And Ralph is messed up. He's threatened me. Ralph has said something. He's right. Doesn't he know I'm God? Doesn't he know? I'm in the center of the universe. He thinks he's God. No, I'm God. I'll kill him off. I'll kill him off in my mind. I'll kill him off with words of bitterness and hatred. Get rid of him. He can't be God. He's got more than me. He's rich and I'm poor. He can't do that. I'm God. I have to have more than he does. I'm God. So I lust after what he has. I envy him. I hate him. I'm torn with the passion to have what he has. I think I'm God. Ralph threatens me. And anything that he does to threaten me, I kill him off in my mind. I'm God. I mean, there can only be one of me, and I'm it. But he thinks he's God too. You see, he doesn't know that I'm God. He thinks he's God. And he's killing me off. He's lusting and envying after what I have. I can have more than him. He's God. And we're killing each other off because we think we're God. The universe is fractured. Our whole beings are messed up. We don't know. Anytime I have an uncontrolled burst of anger, I think I'm God. I kill him off. That's what anger is. It's judging. Judgment says, get rid of him. Kill him off. Punish him. Make him say, I'm God. Make him back off. I'm king of the mountain. How dare him? I'll kill him. Get him rid of him. And I'm eaten up with the angers and the cankers of my passions. And scientists will tell you, God, medical people will tell you, that uncontrolled passions, and particularly anger, will flood the body with pure poison. Because there is that reaction within us that causes the adrenalines and the other whatevers to begin to kill, kill, kill. But I'm a civilized person. I can't kill. So instead, I have to cope with it, and it floods my stomach, and it eats holes in my stomach, and it runs my intestines, and it causes me to stay awake at night, and it causes me to grind my teeth, and it gets all of my system messed up. I'm God. Doesn't he know? I can't kill him. I kill him in my mind, but I've got, my poor stomach's got to deal with the supply of killing him, and yet I can't kill him. I think I'm God. And my wrath is that which says, only God can judge. Since I'm God, I kill you. I spit out an angry word. I lose control of myself, and I say, I'm God, you're condemned. And in the process, I'm condemning myself. Only God has the right to, because only God is utterly just. Condemn. It's convenient for me. Step on my toes, I cut your toes off. Attack me, I'll kill you off, you know. It's only out of selfishness. Wrath in a human being is selfish. It never can be any other way. Because I'm not. Without fire, it's life. Stick your hand in it, it burns you, you'll die. It's also death. The fire doesn't change. The fire is the same. It's the same fire that cooks my food, warms my body, gives me life. That same fire is also death. And the fire has not changed. It depends on my relationship to the fire, whether it's life to me or death to me. But the fire is the same. And I say, oh, the fire is horrible. it's horrible. It's wrath. It's judgment. Oh, fire. But the fire doesn't change. The fire is it's the way it is. It is the nature of fire to burn up what gets in it. It is the nature of fire to exude heat and warmth, which I need. God is love. In Jesus Christ is that place where we receive the love of God, not because of what you do or what you don't do. Outside of Jesus, there is nothing left but wrath, the righteous judgment of God on sin. Doesn't depend. God hasn't changed. The same thing that is wrath to one man is life to the other man. It just depends on your relationship. Are you in his son? Or are you out of his son? If you're in his son, you say, Jesus is Lord. He is God in the flesh, and I trust him. I trust him. I leave my eternal security in his hand. I accept what Jesus has done. I agree with God, and that's all salvation is. He's saying, God, you're right. You're right. I mean, that's the way I am, just like you said, sinner. And I can't be any different. I accept what you did to count for me. Saved. Born again. Such a simple thing. It's agreeing with God. And all of a sudden, light floods into your being. You say, I'm not even the center of the universe. Huh. I'm just a creature. So if I'm not the center of the universe, what am I kicking poor old wrath for? God wants him kicked. Let him do it. That's God's wrath. Let God take care of wrath. I just take care of him. I just love wrath. I am delivered from the responsibility of the judging wrath. I don't have to take the aspects and the attributes of deity to myself in relationship to wrath. I don't have to judge him. I don't have to pour wrath on him. I don't have to hate him. I have been forgiven. I can afford to forgive. I can help but forgive. I've been forgiven. So wrath is a God, it's a deity attribute, belongs to God only. Anger is the sensing of the inequity and right opposed to wrong and says, I will not agree with what's wrong. No. But be careful. Because it is so easy to allow that proper resisting of what is wrong that is anger. No. Wrong is wrong and this is right. I will not compromise. This is the way it is. This because God has said so. That's it. Now, Lord, I'm not going to reach my hand over there and beat up on them, but I will not ever yield. I agree with you. What you going to do about that, God? What you going to do about that? And if God chooses to do something while you're watching, fine. If he doesn't, that's still fine. It's God's business. I never will agree with it. I'm against sin. The scripture says God's angry with sin every day. Me too. Me too. I'm angry with it in me. I refuse to compromise. The minute the Spirit of God points out sin in me, I say, you're right, God. I won't compromise. That's right. That sin has got to go. Got to go. Does this, y'all nod or something? Is this getting what I'm talking about here? Because if not, we'll go through it again. I'll go, maybe we'll do it another way. Question. Yeah. I don't know another way. Comments, questions. Come on now, what you thinking?
I think we're at that right to be angry.
Yeah, that's right.
Am I the only one in here that has trouble with anger?
No, not if, unless there's a bunch of liars in here. That's the only thing we could possibly say. Everybody comes up. The very scripture says, be angry and sin not in Ephesians. And then it makes a nice little caution. I always thought that's such a tacky little appendage there. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. It's time so pious, you know. But the reason for it is this. If you find yourself involved in anger that begins to swell to the point that you're threatened that maybe I will knock him off. You know, maybe I will be wrath. Maybe I will judge him and say he's wrong and he ought to be beat to a pulp too. That's all. Okay. Be very careful. Allow yourself to lie down to rest physically and allow yourself to rest emotionally as well. Always bring that anger that is permissible and right, and always exercise it in the presence of God. For anger cannot resort to wrath in God's presence. Only God is allowed to have wrath. And that anger can express itself, but always forgive before you lay down to go to sleep, so that your physical body can get its refreshment and rejuvenation for the next day without all that poison in your system. Just a good rule of thumb. Lord, I give this matter up to you. It's not fair. It is unequal. The inequities of life have confronted me. This is not right. It makes me angry, Lord. It makes me angry. It's not right. So I'm mad. But you're God. I forgive. Now, if you want to do something about it, that's your business. Me, I'm going to sleep.
I have a comment on that. Talking about anger and not judgment, I think sometimes through our anger, we let the courts decide the judgment. That's what I was going through all this. I expressed a couple of weeks ago that I was going to court. It's because I was angry and frustrated with the way the situation was. I was going to let somebody else decide whatever the fate may be, be in my favor or an ex-wife's favor.
And that's what we do with God, too. He is the judge, the only righteous judge. We bring it to the court, and whatever he decides, we'll abide by that. But you see, the difference here is that it's not fair. It makes me angry. It's not right. It's not fair. It hurts. It isn't right. But when you bring it to God and you say, but you're the center of, you're in charge of everything, and you know it's not right, because it's the fact that you reveal truth to me that makes me know it's not right. So I acknowledge that you are in control. You want to do something about this? It's wonderful. But I won't reach my hand out and take my any prerogatives of deity to myself. I'm a creature. He is a creature. I refuse to compromise with what's right. But I will not reach my hand out and judge by killing off. I won't do that. It doesn't mean that I forgive you. It's all right. It's not sweeping something that's wrong under the rug. You understand what I'm talking about? Because it's not saying what is not so is so. It's not pretending. It's saying, I know this is wrong. This is not right. I will not compromise with it. I will make my stand. I will speak truth. But I will not reach my hand out and kill you off. That is a prerogative of deity. Only God can be trusted to be utterly just. Me, my emotions get into it. And I maybe do pretty good sometimes, but I probably won't most times. Only God can be trusted to be utterly just. I know what's right and wrong. But I leave the payment for it in God's hand. And I don't trust you, but I trust him. He's utterly just. He can't lie. He can't be unfair. It looks like he's being awfully unfair, but I know him. When I cannot explain the situation, I can trust him. When I cannot understand the way his hand is moving, I can trust his heart. That's why Jesus said, and this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. Only in knowing that God's in control of the universe, that he's utterly just, that I am his sweetheart, his honey baby, that he loves me with an unspeakable love, and he will not allow wickedness to escape unpunished, then I can lay down and go to sleep.
Well, Liz, like in the case of the reason, when my daughter was raped, and the rapist was caught. Now, I press charges, right?
That's right.
Are you saying, is that a form of judgment?
No, that's not. That is applying what God has allowed to the law of the land. The Lord says that all authority is ordained by God. Do you know that? All authority is ordained by God. Now, the fellow that's dispensing, it may be a booger from the word go, but the authority he exercises is ordained of God. And God has placed laws in the land in order to protect us. If you don't like the law, you can lobby and work to change the law. But the laws are placed there for the protection of the people. And it is right to apply the law. And you think our laws are stringent? They aren't. God's laws that the Jews lived by, that they had a charter, the only nation that was ever chartered by God, and they received laws directly from him. And the law was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. The law was swift. If you have a disobedient son, and he won't listen to you, and he's a drunkard, and he carouses, he'll be stoned to death. You didn't have a whole lot of drunks in Israel. Yeah, those kids said yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. I mean, they knew what it was. I heard some old fella, he was telling a tale, said he came through. So in other words, yeah, it's proper. You would be wrong if you did not apply the law. And that's why, you see, I don't care what your political statement and how your feelings of it own. Now let me finish this and I'll talk about that. This fellow said he was going through Los Angeles and there was a big demonstration. And one of these gentlemen, his cab was slowed down, and one of these gentlemen came up by his car. He rolled down the window to find out what was going on, and they were demonstrating against capital punishment. And he said, wait just a minute, let me understand this. Jerry Clow was that old crazy thing saying. He said, are you trying to tell me that the punishment for crime won't stop crime? And the man said, that's right, Mr. Clow, and you're an intelligent, educated man. I know you'll agree with me. He said, well, it's plain to me that you ain't never stole no tea cakes from my mama. He said he was a grown man and he still called mama and asked, was it all right, can I have a cookie? You know. And God has established laws of retribution in order to curb the uncontrollable of man. And the punishment for crime will stop crime. So you see, many misguided people are filled with sentiment, not with righteousness. Here a man has said, done an unspeakable act. More than a crime against you and your husband, more than a crime against your daughter, more than a crime against himself, the Bible says, we have done this evil in thy sight. That's where the evil is. It is against God. It is against the utter purity and holy God. He says, I don't even believe that you exist, God. I do what I want to do right in front of you. You don't even exist. That is the crime. And that's why evil must be punished. Did I talk about Doeg here the other week? Remember a man named Doeg? Did I talk about it? Some of y'all, I'm going to talk about it again. There was a man by the name of Doeg who was a Amalekite, I think. He was a Gentile. He wasn't a Jew. And Saul was a man who thought he was God. He thought he was the center of the universe. And a fellow who thinks he's God never dreams that there could be some people who don't have any opinion concerning him. Saul thought everybody was either for him or against him. You ever had folks in the family fall out with each other and they can't believe that you won't take sides? They won't even accept it. They say, well, then you must be for them. You're on their side. You're either for me or against me. And that's the way Saul was. And so he heard that David came by a camp that was filled with a camp of Levites, a village of priests. And they had given him food. They had given him sustenance, like they had done many other times. And Saul couldn't believe that that tribe of priests, that village of priests, didn't take sides between him and David. He figured, well, if they helped David, they must be against me. He couldn't believe they were neutral. So he said, go kill them. Well, none of his soldiers would do it. They said, we're not going to lift our hand against the anointed of God. Those are the priests that God has set apart to minister between him and us. We're not going to touch them. We know better than that. And there was a man there named Doeg who was a heathen. It didn't mean anything to him, priest. That was just another man. He said, I'll kill him. And so he did it. He wiped them out, every mother's son, the dogs and the cats and the goats. He killed them all except for one man who escaped. And this man escaped and went into the wilderness and found David where he was in the stronghold and told him what had happened. Here was a whole village of men and women who had been murdered because of an act of kindness. And David could have said, why, God? Why? That's why I was praying for this woman, this family of this 21-year-old woman that's died. I can just hear them. Why, God? Why have you let this happen? Have you noticed that? That when the unfaceable happens, people immediately lay it at God's doorstep. Because after all, God's God, isn't he? He could have stopped it if he wanted to, couldn't he? That's what they say. And they say, God, why have you done this? It's your fault, God. We've got to have somebody to be at fault. We say, God, it must be your fault. Well, David, in Psalms 52, there was a whole village of people dead. Unjustly. And David could have said, why, God? But you know what he did? He said this, why do you boast in evil, O mighty man? The loving kindness of God endures all day long. Here's all this whole town dead because of an act of kindness to him. instead of speaking to God, he speaks to the man that did it. He said, you think you're going to get away with that? Who do you think you are? Don't you know what you have done? I mean, you haven't lifted up your hand against a tribe of men. You have lifted up your hand on God. Oh, you foolish man. And he goes on from in the fifth verse, he said, but God will break you down forever. Oh, there is justice. You don't think it's coming, but it's coming. God is utterly just, and wickedness will be punished. I would love to see it personally. I would get great satisfaction from seeing you writhe with a spear stuck through your middle. But better than that, better than my fleshly satisfaction, I know God, and he is utterly pure and utterly righteous. Oh, you have done it. You have done it. I may not get to see it, but I trust you, God. I can lay down and go to sleep at night knowing that even though it appears that the wicked is boasting and thumbing his nose at you and saying, you know, so God's there, let him show himself, and we don't even believe he's there. I don't have to defend you, God. You defend your own self. The psalmist says, you plead your own cause, God. Me, I'm going to sleep. I know God. I'm not going to give myself anger or trouble about it. God is God, and he is utterly faithful and utterly trustworthy. And I can lay down and go to sleep knowing wickedness will be punished. It will be punished fairly. It will be punished justly. It will be punished surely. That is the reason that you and I, as children of God, can be angry and sin not. We can say, I can't explain the situation, but I know God. He can't lie. He can't fail. He can't be unjust. In his presence, I am angry with sin. I am angry with this. It is not right. But I won't put my hand out to kill or punish. Leave that up to God. He does it surely, and he does it precisely, and I trust him to do it. No altars. No sleepless nights. No envies, no hatreds, no envyings. I say, oh, I don't have to do that. I can be at peace. I can express my anger, but I don't have to take it to me and let it eat me up. I can express it and I say, oh, God, I give it to you. You handle this. It's too big for me. This is a God thing. Remember the covenant? Jeremiah 31:31 and Hebrews 8. The covenant God cut with himself for us. He said, I'll be their God, they'll be my people. He said, I do all the God stuff, honey. You just do people things. People things say, makes me mad, God. I'm angry. That's not right. I give it to you. Good night. That's people. God says, I judge. Don't put your hand out. You're no dummy. You don't have to pretend something is right when you know it's wrong. I'm the one that showed you it's wrong. Of course it's wrong. Never, ever compromise with what's right and wrong. But you don't have to put your hand out. I do that. Knowing what is right and what is wrong is a people thing. Judging it is a God thing. I'll be God, you be people. It's when we try to be God that we get in trouble. In that case, the reason I was so concerned with the fathers, I was concerned with the women. I'm concerned with the women that God healed them of this great outrage against their person, against their body. They've been violated. And more than their body has been violated, their spirit, their soul has been violated. They have been hurt. They need to be healed supernaturally by God in gentleness and in completeness. But those fathers, it breaks my heart to think of those fathers. What father could not hate? What father could not be eaten with hatred to the one that could injure his wife and his child that way? Only the man who knows that God is God and wickedness will be punished. That makes me angry, but I won't kill him in my mind. I leave that to you, God. He'll be punished. That is a supernatural act of God. Forgiveness is the same way. Forgiveness, people say, well, you know, you haven't forgiven if you haven't forgotten. Well, you can't erase things out of your memory. Sometimes God is merciful and erases things, but sometimes he's not as merciful and doesn't erase things. When you have forgiven is an act of will. It's not emotion. All of a sudden, if you begin to remember, and the feelings begin to surge back in. You don't say, I haven't forgiven because I'm experiencing these feelings. You say, no, I have forgiven because I chose to forgive. These feelings will have to get in line with my decree. I chose to forgive. When you get to the place that you can look back and remember, and you don't suffer, because you say, I know you're in the center of the universe, God, that won't go unpunished. You hadn't forgotten. I'm not having to just knuckle under and take it. You'll take care of that. You'll take care of it accurately. I'll do what I should do. I'll never compromise. I will allow myself to be known. But now, you do all the killing off. Only you can be trusted to do it. Who else could be trusted to do it justly? I roll over and go to sleep. You have forgiven. There are some areas that you have no right to allow yourself to think in. Do you know that? There are some areas that I know it's bad business for me to start thinking in. There are some areas where I remember hurt that's been done to me, and if I look at it long enough, I start feeling the hurt again. So I know that I have no right to indulge my thoughts in certain areas. I say, God, that's fishing. That's off limits. I've given that to God. No thinking. I get in trouble if I start thinking there. I just leave that with God. If I start thinking about it, then I'll have to forgive again because it'll all come rushing back in on me and I'll relive the whole thing in my mind. But the time will come when I continually say, now, Lord, here it is again. I'm remembering it. Lord, I praise you that you forgave me for worse than that refused to acknowledge you existed. Lord, I thank you that I can forgive because I've been forgiven. I choose to forgive. You take care of that, God. You see about me. You defend me, Lord. You take care of that. I give it to you. And as you repeatedly do that, when the thoughts come back, the time will come when the thoughts will come back, but the pain does not come back with it. Does it mean that you've only forgiven when it doesn't hurt anymore? You forgave the moment you decided to forgive. That's just like getting married. I got married the minute I decided to get married. I didn't feel like it for a long time, but I was married. And you forgave the minute you decided to forgive and did not allow yourself the privilege of lavishing on your thoughts how terrible I've been treated. Do you know that's a privilege? And you enjoy it, though. It hurts so good. Have you ever had a bobo and it just hurts every time you poke? That's the way it is with thoughts. We think about how wrong we've been. He done me wrong. And it hurts so good. And I feel so sorry for myself. And I just suck my thumb. I'm such a sweetheart. And he's so mean. Oh. You don't have the right. That belongs to God now. I gave it to him. When the thoughts come back, I just remind myself and God, I gave them to you. That belongs to you. You take care of all that business. I am free to love. I am free to forgive. And God supplies you with that love. Romans 5 said he shed it abroad. He poured it out in our hearts. You find yourself loving. You say, is this me? I ought to be punching him in the nose. Am I loving him? Am I feeling pity for him? Am I understanding that he's helpless and he can't help himself? Or they are their own worst victim? Am I actually having compassion and pity on them who hurt me so bad? Yes, because you forgave way back there when you decided to. Understand this. You are not your feelings. Your feelings serve you. But you are not what your feelings say. You are what your will has said. And you did forgive. And the minute you forgave, God forgave you. It's over. You don't have to lavish guilt on yourself. And, oh, if I could only forgive, I haven't forgiven him. God's mad at me because no. You forgave way back there. And when you're angry, now, full circle, back here where Ralph's talking. Yeah, it made him angry because it wasn't right. It wasn't right, then y'all know better. Grown men, praying, y'all know better. They gave way to their emotions. They endangered other people's lives. Of course he was angry. And well, they should know it. It isn't right. That's why the court dockets are so full now. Cases can't be handled. That's why they're having to push and parole people out of prisons who haven't served the full term, who know that if they do it again, they'll get a slap on the wrist because we're forgiving. We're so sweet. Oh, after all, they're just human. We forgive. No, it isn't right. Wrong is wrong. Evil will be punished. But I don't allow myself the privilege of going so far in anger that I become the punisher. I just say, this is the way things are. That's how to be angry and sin not.
Well, I want to apologize for taking the rest of your time.
We should do that.
We need to hear that.
Yeah, that's proper. We should do that.
Well,
always questioned in my mind what I would do if I found somebody in my house, and my first reaction would be to shoot first, ask what's the matter, because I have no business in my house, and they intend to do is bomb my home.
You sound like the old Quakers. You know, they were known for their nonviolence and their peacefulness. And the old Quaker who woke up one night and came down in his nightshirt with his gun in his hand, and there was a robber standing there, and he said, "Friend, thou art standing where I'm about to shoot." Remember this, that God has placed you in authority in your home, and all authority is ordained of God. And I can't say what you should or should not do. I do know this. If you're walking in trust of the Lord, you can trust that in that moment He will be wisdom to you. You can't say what you would or would not do. And you can't say what would be right and would not shoot. Should you shoot where you're standing or should you not? Nobody can tell you that, and you don't know until the moment arrives. But this you can know, that the Spirit of God will be wisdom to you, and you can trust God to know what's right for the moment. Maybe you ought to shoot Him. I mean, you might not ever get broken in again. Nobody else might. But maybe you should not. But you don't know till that moment arises. You can't make rules for yourself. You can trust the Spirit of God on the spot to be wisdom to you. No, you don't need it. You know, it would be utterly wasted, and God doesn't waste anything. So that would be a thing for you and the Spirit of the Lord to be in cooperation with naturally, spontaneously. That's a reaction. Actions you're responsible for. Reactions are the result of pre-programming. You know that? You go driving down the road and a dog runs out in front of you. You don't say, "Dog, wreck, hurt, ow, I better stop." You slap on the brakes. You say, "I'm glad I stopped." You didn't stop because of that dog. You stopped because of the last time you saw a dog run across the road, and you automatically did it. It was a pre-programmed thing. You're in the business of programming yourself with the Word of God, with the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, with the fellowship of one another, being in prayer, being with Him. And all of a sudden, when an occasion arises, you'll react, and lo and behold, you reacted just like God. Now, you know my world famous saying, the Bible says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." I say, what's in the well comes up in the bucket. That's it. You react according to what you are. And you're busy being conformed to the image of Jesus. You're reacting, you can trust to the Holy Spirit. So, understand this. Don't condemn yourself for a reaction either. That's taking unfair advantage. Never fair to make a judgment based on information you didn't have at that time. That's just the way it was. It may have been right, it may have been wrong. But next time, you'll be prepared. You'll know. It isn't what your actions that tell so much about you. It's your reactions that speak up to you. Then you know what kind of stuff you're made of, because you didn't have time to think about that. You just reacted.
Well, yeah, I think Father, it's probably been easier for him to just kill the race. But now, he's got the calling of having to forgive it.
Yeah.
Suppose he can't forgive it.
And he can't if he doesn't.
Do you think there's an instance when God forgives you for not being able to forgive?
No, because God never forgives sin until it's repented of. And repent means to turn from it and go in another direction. But I do know this. God is merciful. And the healing of God, both physical and emotional, sometimes takes time. The word healing means recovery. Some healings are instantaneous. I was instantaneously healed of brain damage, severe, irreparable brain damage. And yet I recovered physically over a period of a year and a half. I was healed of all of it. One part was instant, another part took a while. Sometimes when you can't say, you can't forgive, you say, "Lord, I know what I ought to, but I'm not going to lie about it. I can't. But I accept you and all of your provision. I'm willing to be willing." And you begin to recover. And 6 months, 2 years, 3 years down the road, you look back and you say, "You know, I'm recovered of that. It took a while, but I've recovered." God knows you. He knows your heart. And He knows Himself. He has sworn that you will be a people for Himself. You will be the reflection of His will in the universe. You can trust yourself to Him, even your healing, emotionally as well as physically. Does that help? And there's a whole lot about it that, let's face it, we just don't know. There's a whole bunch about it. You can say all you want to. When you get down to the bottom line, there's just so much of it. We know, we say, Lord, what we don't understand and know, you do. That's enough. Anybody else? Father, we bless and thank you for this evening. I thank you for each one that's here, Lord. I thank you that your Spirit is in evidence in our lives, and you did it all by yourself, Lord, and we thank you. Father, open our understanding to see truth. Teach us about yourself, Lord. And more than teach us about yourself, teach us yourself. Let us know you by experience and association. And take pleasure in us, Lord. Let us be children that bring great delight to you and great joy. And we praise you. It is our delight and our privilege. We praise you. We bless you. And how we do love you. Lord, I know that we don't act like we do half the time. And if you ask us, we'd say we don't think we do, but Lord, we do, because you chose us to love you, and so therefore we do. And as it's working itself out in our life, we just busy ourselves with accepting you as you are. And accepting ourselves